This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
Coming up today, we have some topics to talk about. Let's start, first of all, with the NFL ratings. Oh my goodness, the ratings. As usual, we see that the NFL is still king. The Packers-Cardinals game drew a viewership of 20.4 million across all platforms, Scarlett.
And also, I thought Thursday Night Football, which is where this game was shown, was kind of an afterthought. I mean, when it first came out, wasn't it something that people were like, oh, the NFL is going too far? You've got games on Sunday, you've got games on Monday, but like, why are we doing Thursday night games?
Yeah, Lynchy, that was me.
Yeah, and it was me too. But they had some awful matchups on Thursday night. They tried to keep them geographically close so they wouldn't have to travel a lot, which meant you
play a divisional
game. And some of those divisional games were awful. They had these gimmicks where the teams would wear these uniforms of all one color from head to toe. Yeah. And it looked like that old electric football game you played on the table with your brother. You know, it was just awful. But this is big, and you know the ratings are up. But they can't really compare it to last year with no fans. But from 2 years ago, it's up 67%. I mean, that's an enormous jump. And of course, all the platforms. Now, ironically, yesterday during the 4 o'clock games, I was out trick or treating with my grandchildren, and it's amazing how many guys were walking up and down the street watching games on
their phones.
On their tablets.
Tripping over themselves.
Yes,
tripping over our kids.
Yeah.
Trick or treat. Yeah, sure.
Where did my son go? I was just watching the replay of this touchdown.
Don't get the candy corn, fellas.
Yeah, this is a big win then for Amazon Prime Video, which, of course, broadcasts or streams, I should say, the games, Thursday night football games, because now you can just take it with you wherever you go, and you never have to give up that audience, those eyeballs.
Yeah, I guess this is it. It's just like, look, if you are still watching stuff on cable or old analog, you better get with the times. Deal with it.
Yeah, and when this Amazon thing first came out, I'm going, what? Come on. I mean, people really need to see and sit in front of their TV and watch it. And,
nope.
You know, once again, I was wrong. And, you know, I have to sort of, you know, see it, touch it, feel it to actually believe it, and I believe it.
Well, you're right about the first Thursday night matchups. We were getting the Detroit Lions versus the Detroit Lions, and that's the
matchup. Aside from Michael Barr, no one else wanted to watch that.
Yeah, and even there were some nights. But anyway, I mean, it's good for the NFL. They're coming through, and they're showing what it's all about. That's very good. Speaking of the NFL, Peyton Manning says, look, I'm not involved with any potential new ownership groups, and it came while he was being honored by the Denver Broncos before the game. I always believe Peyton, but Scarlett, what do you think?
I was curious about this because, I mean, he's known for his time on the Colts, and yet because the Broncos were the last team he played with, his name automatically comes up anytime someone's talking about, well, who's going to come in and buy the Broncos, and he automatically gets name-checked no matter what. I mean, should John Elway therefore be part of any discussion as well in terms of who the new Broncos ownership might be, just based on formerly famous quarterbacks?
It gives it a sense of legitimacy as opposed to five investors coming from out of town. Peyton lives in the Denver area now all season long. His kids go to school there, and it lends credibility. And I'm sure that this isn't the first time he's been approached. And ironically, he's probably the first famous professional athlete that is not interested in owning a professional team. We talk so much about how many players that are just retired or about to retire want to keep their hand in and want to be part of ownership. You look at Michael Jordan. You look at Magic Johnson. LeBron James won't be far from opening part owner of an NBA basketball team. Derek Jeter. And the list goes on and on. But here's a guy who's actually saying, no, I'm not interested.
Oftentimes when they're part of the ownership, they're not even the biggest owners, right? They have the smallest part, but they're the public face of it. And they're the ones who appeal to the fans' heartstrings, essentially.
I always wonder, and I was reading this, the part of the story was from ESPN, and it said Manning, who attends most Broncos home games as a fan, was honored at a pregame ceremony. What struck me was, as you guys mentioned earlier, he made a lot of years as a Colts quarterback, and I don't see him going to the Colts games.
No, he's he's settled in the area out there in Colorado, and that's, you know, they get, after a while you get tired of moving your kids around. They want to have some semblance of normalcy in terms of going to school and friends and neighborhoods, et cetera. So that's where he is. But you know, he's not going to put the Colts aren't going to be for sale for a long time. The Irsay family has owned them forever and ever. The Broncos were owned by Pat Bowlen, their great owner who passed away, and it's been operated in the trust under his name. So that's why his name will come up, because, I mean, he's squeaky clean and he's beloved and he's respected. And, you know, when you start going for loans to banks, you know, hey, we got Peyton Manning. Well, absolutely. Come
exactly.
Pull up a seat and let's take a look. Oh, is that a Super Bowl ring you got on your hand there, Mr. Manning? Wow, do you mind if I try that on right here? And you can't believe the number of NFL players that tell me when they go in, they try to open a restaurant or a business and some type of business, and when they go into a bank and they have a Super Bowl ring on, almost invariably, every loan officer wants to know if they can try it on their finger.
That's the due diligence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, look at that. Let me take a picture of you with the ring. Okay, yeah, you can have a loan.
Before we move on to another topic, before we start talking about Steve Cohen, Atlanta Falcons wideout Calvin Ridley. He's going to step away from football at this time, as he says, to focus on his mental health, Scarlett.
Yes. He would not say what it was about. And, of course, it's well within his rights to not say anything further. But he just says he needs some time. He said in today's world, it shouldn't matter. People should mind their own business. But it's personal right now. And he believes it would be a short-term issue. So our best wishes to him.
And you know what, Lynchy? Good for him. Just take some time. Take some time for you and get it sorted out.
Yeah, it's very tough to admit. It's tough to admit publicly, but you know, the door's sort of been opened a little bit. Simone Biles, and other professional athletes, Naomi Osaka, stepped away from all those press conferences that she was in, and it's something that you can't see, feel, or touch, like a broken ankle or a torn ACL. Mental illness is this amorphous illness that it's hard to define unless you are going through it yourself, then you can obviously appreciate what's going on. So good for him for taking a step.
On to the next topic, Scarlett. Steve Cohen, can you set up this situation here?
I love any story about Steve Cohen because, you know, he is the hedge fund manager who for many years was not allowed to be a hedge fund manager because of concerns over improper trading, let's just put it that way. Anyway, he is the world's biggest Mets fan, and now he is the owner of the New York Mets. And he's now reportedly in discussions with Las Vegas Sands about bringing a casino to the Citi Field area. I guess his goal is to remake Willets Point, which is where Citi Field is based. And I had not realized this, but Las Vegas Sands no longer has any presence in the U.S. I mean, I had read that it sold its Vegas assets to Apollo Global Management, the PE company, but that left it with zero footprint in the U.S. Its assets are now in Singapore through the Marina Bay Sands casino and five different resorts in Macau. But it's now looking to figure out where it wants to settle in the U.S. or where it wants to buy up assets in the U.S. And it was talking with Texas and with Jacksonville, Florida, but nothing came out of that. And now possibly New York.
Anybody familiar with the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area knew that the Sands Casino used to be in that area. And then it was just last week I went by there and I'm like, wait a minute, Willow Creek, what happened? And then as I started reading more about it, it's just what you just said, Scarlett, which brings me to the next point, Lynchy. Will we see the Sands make this comeback not only in New York, but maybe in your neck of the woods?
Well, they won't. It won't happen up here in Boston because we have one that opened a few years ago, the Encore Boston Hotel. Steve Wynn was part of it, and then when he had all these allegations against him, he withdrew his ownership. But the facility is still here. New York is licensed for three. I believe two are already open.
Two are there, yep.
Two are there, so there's one more. And what a great location that would be. I mean, this becomes a 365-day-a-year destination right next to Citi Field. And there won't be any problem with fellow owners proving it because that line is gone. I mean, it used to be a clear line of demarcation between professional sports and gambling. Now, gambling entities.
The door's wide open.
Wide open. I'm listening to a Patriots game on the radio yesterday while I was out trick-or-treating. And when they went to every break, it says, you're listening to New England Patriots football on the DraftKings studio coming to you from Los Angeles. And that was the in, the out all the time.
Before we wrap this up, and especially to you, Lynchy, I would be remiss not to mention about the passing of Jerry Remy. Rem Dog, for many years, he was with the Boston Red Sox, second baseman. And then later, he really took off, Scarlett, as the TV broadcaster there in the area. And it was, and for many years, it was just a beloved character that everybody loved there. And I feel horrible about what happened. He was 68 years old, died of cancer.
Yeah, we first met. We played in an All-Star game together in Fenway in 1969, and we've been friends ever since. Mm. And he was just played for the Red Sox for 10 years, lifelong dream. Grew up about an hour south of Boston, played here. And then when he became a broadcaster, his personality just took off. They called him the Rem Dog. He opened three or four restaurants. He was elected president of Red Sox Nation. And he had a great baseball mind. He had great baseball acumen. I mean, I always thought he should be a manager because he'd say, this is a great situation for a hit and run. Boom, hit and run, and a run scores. But this is the seventh battle he had with cancer, and the last time I texted him was about 2 weeks ago. And I said, how you doing, Jerry? He says, this one's a real struggle, Mike. And that's the last communication I had with him. But you should see the Boston Globe, above the fold, top story, and the first five pages of the sports page, all about Jerry Remy. And so big that they paid tribute to him on the national broadcast for Fox and the World Series last night. Fox NFL game with Tampa Bay and New Orleans, and the Patriots-Chargers game on CBS.
Rem Dog, you will be missed.
You betcha.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Mike Lynch. Catch us here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports. Catch me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
And I'm Mike Lynch. You can follow me at LynchyWCVB.
And I'm Scarlett Fu. You can get me on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.